Hi, I'm Sarah Craig, and I joined the Talking Book Service 30 years ago in 1986. Sorry, I can't speak Welsh. I'm not from Wales, although I've lived here since 1990. I'm actually from the Isle of Man. Now, when I first joined Talking Books, I was in the position of not having any sight because I'd lost my sight at the age of 14, and I got some of it back through an operation when I was 16, so I was very, very lucky. I can see some colours and shapes now. I can't recognise anybody, but compared to having no sight at all, which I had for 2 years, it's very good. I was a voracious reader, and I joined the Talking Books because I couldn't read print anymore, and they sent me the catalogues in Braille, which was great for a couple of reasons, mainly because I could order books that had the prefix not suitable for family listening. Also, another prefix I liked the look of was may contain passages that could cause offence. And so I really enjoyed those books, especially because my parents never knew what I was reading. I still am quite a traditionalist, really, because the original Talking Book cartridges, which I'll call them cartridges as opposed to cassettes, because although they could fit through the letterbox, they were quite large. And you could have two hours on each track, and the maximum tracks on these cartridges were six. And the big old Talking Book machines were quite cumbersome, and you'd have to press buttons and hopefully get onto the right track, and you could have to widen them backwards to try and find where you were, which was very hard work. Also, in those days, we had between 5,000 and 6,000 books on Talking Book cartridges, which were wonderful. But the majority of those books in those days were fiction, and I was going off to university to do law. So when I went off to university, I had 28 core books, which were very kindly supplied by the RNIB, but these were on proper cassette tape, even though they were, you could play them at half speed, and you could actually have four tracks. Because I had 24 core books, my father had to get a roof rack on his car, and I had literally boxes full of boxes of tapes from the RNIB. Now, the students that are here or that are in university these days don't know that they're born, because all these books I had to carry about and whiz through winding cassette players back and forth, they're all now available on these Talking Book discs. And as one of the gentlemen said, that you've got 24 hours of Talking Book on one disc, so it's a lot easier to flick through and find what you had to read. And also, a lot of the students today have support workers, which in my day, which is still only the early 1990s, we didn't have. Now, I can tell you a funny story. I've had five guide dogs, and my first guide dog, because in those days the machines were quite, as I said, quite sturdy, and you had to press a lever to get them to play. My first guide dog nudged my Talking Book machine, and it had a Neville Shute book in it, which could have been A Town Like Alice, but I can't remember. But anyway, he pressed the button and it said, "We know you are a spy." And he backed away from the Talking Book machine, and to that, the whole time I had him at university, he never went near it again. Now, in the mid-1990s, there were three really good innovations in the Talking Book machines. The first thing they did was they installed a rechargeable battery, which meant that we could charge a Talking Book through the mains and then take it on the bus or the train and listen to it with headphones and a battery. They made the Talking Book machine slightly smaller. It was still arduous to carry it round, but it was smaller than it was. They also put a special lever, so you had a lever for track 1 and 2, a special position for track 3 and 4, and another position for track 5 and 6. That made a tremendous difference, because you didn't have to fiddle around for ages trying to get to make sure you're on the right track. The thing that impressed me the most, and it was one of the things I requested, was they put a variable speed control on the talking book machine. Because when I was a student, whizzing through books, I needed to read them at the speed I wanted to read them, not at the speed that the narrators were reading them. And that's not because I didn't enjoy that. I totally appreciated the work that the narrators had put in, putting expression into the books, putting lots of different accents. But when you're in a hurry and you've got to read something by the next day, you need it fast. So it was great. Those three were great. Now, in the early 2000s, they introduced a little grey machine, which to majority of people was a real innovation. It was called a Victor Reader Classic. But I was a little bit fussy, and I thought, there's a couple of features on this I don't particularly like, so I'm going to hold out. So I was one of the very few people that held out, carrying on with the traditional cartridges and the old machines until 2004, because they then introduced a talking book player called the Plex Talk, which suited me down to the ground because everything was fast. It went right up to speed 8, which is really fast, and that's what I listened to everything on, speed 8. And if anybody is anywhere near where I am, they think, what the... I'm not going to repeat the word, but what on earth are you doing listening to that? I can't understand a word of it, but I can, and that's how my brain works. So not only that, but as one of the gentlemen said, that there's now 23,000 talking books available, which is absolutely marvellous. I was a bit worried first when you had to send your CDs back to get another one, because the CDs had our names and address printed on them, and I was thinking, that's a shame, they can't lend them out to anybody else. They have to be destroyed. So I contacted the Talking Books about this, and they said, well, actually, they're being used. Now, they're recycled, these discs, broken into big pieces and made to create motorways in Manchester. So whether that's true or not, I don't know whether that's an urban myth, but that is apparently where the discs go when they're sent back and shredded and they create motorways in the Manchester area. So what I'd like to say, really, from a recipient, of a 30-year recipient of Talking Books, is to thank everybody involved in the process so much. It's unbelievable to be able to navigate chapters. Some machines and some books you can actually navigate to pages. And one final thing that I actually have as well as part of my Talking Book membership, although I pay a small fee for it and it's very worthwhile, is they have some compilation discs which they release every week. And there's one for current affairs, so that's got a lot of newspapers and current affairs articles on it. There's a TV, sort of TV, radio and arts one. There's also a general compilation, and there's a women's compilation. And the women's one's got quite a lot of articles from women's magazines on it. And these discs have anything between about 25 and 35 hours of content, and they sent to you every week. So RNIB has done a tremendous job compiling those as well. So my heartfelt thanks really to everybody that's been involved in producing these things, and the continuity and the difference it's made to my life has been incredible. So thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah.